welcome to our service of memories this afternoon. We come together this afternoon to remember those we've lost, and whether that was recently or whether it was a long time ago, you're very welcome to join us in this service. For some, maybe the emotions still feel very raw, even though maybe it was quite a while ago that you lost someone. For others, maybe it's more a case of coming and giving thanks for someone. Andrea Goodall, our pastoral care overseer, and myself, I'm Bart, I'm minister here at Emmanuel Church. We'll be leading us through the service, and there'll be plenty of time for reflection. There'll be an act of remembrance, which Andrea will tell you about in due course. Everything you need for the service is on the order of service that was given to you, including the words for all the readings. We've also got, if at any point you feel actually you need to sort of go away from this area, if there's a point where you just think, I just need to be on my own for a little bit, you can use the Pathfinder room. So that's the room on the right of those two doors there. Or if you want to use the main church area, you can use there, or one of the other rooms, even in the hall as well. So feel free, if you need to use another space, please feel free to do that. Paul in the New Testament tells the Thessalonians that they are not to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. I take it Paul is therefore saying there are two mistakes that we can make. One of which is that we think we shouldn't grieve. We can think that in order to be strong, we shouldn't grieve and we shouldn't cry. But the Bible expects that we will grieve when we have lost someone. Grief is the price you pay for love. Yet, we aren't really very good at grieving. We're not very good at showing our emotions. We don't want to cry in front of others. Well, if this afternoon you feel like crying, that is okay. Of course, you don't have to stay if you feel like that, but you can stay if you feel that way. But the other mistake, one mistake is that we think we shouldn't grieve, and the other mistake is to grieve as those without hope. Paul is saying, in the saddest of moments, as we grieve, we need to rub hope into our grief, like you might rub salt into meat. You've got to rub the hope of the gospel into our grief. And that's what I want us to do this afternoon in this service. Yes, maybe grieve, but to take the hope of the gospel and to rub that into our grief. Maybe you've turned to Jesus with your grief before. Can I encourage you to do so again? Maybe you've never turned to Jesus. Maybe you've never talked to Jesus before. Can I encourage you in the silence, in the quiet, to bring your sadness, as well as your thanksgiving, to Jesus? And so I'm going to begin our service with a prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would draw close to us this afternoon. You're described as the one who heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Would you do that work among us this afternoon, that we would hear the hope of the gospel and that you would make it penetrate our hearts, that you would lift our eyes to you, that we may know you as the compassionate God you reveal yourself to be. Amen. So we're going to sing our first hymn. Please stand if you're able. If not, then feel free to stay seated. And we're going to sing Great is Thy Faith.
Those words are so true. God is a faithful God and our Father. I'm going to read from John 11, which is in your sheet, so if you want to follow that, do. This reading shows Jesus dealing with a grieving family. Mary, Martha and Lazarus were good friends of Jesus, and he shares with them in their grief. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." And after she'd said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher's here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who'd been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who'd come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who'd opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odour, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Bart is now going to come and talk to us about that passage.
Thank you, Andrea. Well, I'm not going to do a long talk. I'm just wanting to pick out a couple of things that we see in the passage about Jesus and one way for us to respond. The first thing I'd like us to see in the passage is Jesus' love, his deep love for Mary and Martha and Lazarus. It says at the beginning that he loved them, and we see this as we go through the incident. After Lazarus has died, Jesus goes to visit the family and to grieve with them. And the two sisters, Mary and Martha, they both say the same thing to Jesus. They both say, "Lord, if you'd been here, our brother wouldn't have died." And yet Jesus deals with them each differently. And we see with Mary, when Jesus meets with her, that he just weeps with her. She says, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." And he says, "Where have you laid him?" And he says, "Come and see." And it just says, Jesus wept. Why does Jesus weep? After all, he knows what he's about to do. He knows he's about to go to the tomb, that he's about to raise Lazarus to life. He knew right from the start what was going to happen. So why does he weep? Why doesn't he just say to her, "Don't worry, I've got this in hand. And just go to the tomb"? Well, I think it's because he loves her. And he enters into her grief with her. He weeps with her. And he comes alongside us in our grief as well. His power and his control don't mean that he is distant. And there are times where we need to know it's enough to know that Jesus grieves with us. But his emotions aren't just tears. There is also anger there. Maybe you know what it means to be angry in the face of death. Jesus was angry as well. The translators haven't quite translated it maybe as it should come across. There are a couple of times where it says he was deeply moved in spirit. Verse 33 it is one of them. And then verse 38, it says he was deeply moved. Now that deeply moved is a kind of rage, it's a kind of anger. It's a sort of snorting with anger sort of thing. See, as Jesus comes to the tomb, he is angry. But who's he angry with? Well, he's not angry with Mary and Martha. He's not angry that they're grieving. And he's not angry with Lazarus. And he's not angry with God the Father. He's not raging at God the Father saying, "Why would you take Lazarus?" Now, commentators say he is angry with death itself. And it is a good thing, it is a right thing that we should be angry with death. And Jesus was. So it's okay to grieve, to cry, to be angry. Jesus did those things. That's okay. That's the first thing. The second thing that we see of Jesus is his absolute control. I've already alluded to that. But in verse 4 it says, when Jesus heard that Lazarus was ill, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death." He knows how it's going to go. He knows exactly what will happen. And as we see at the end, he goes to the tomb and he calls Lazarus out. I mean, here is someone who has complete control. So much control, he can control death. He can command the dead to rise up. And they do. Now the thing is, if we put those two things together, Jesus' love that brings him to tears, and his complete control, If we bring them together, that raises a question for us. It raises a problem for us. And it raised a problem for Mary and Martha, which is why they responded exactly the same way when they each see Jesus. Because they're putting these two things together. They're saying, well, look, Jesus, if you love us and you're in control, look, if you'd been here earlier, Lazarus wouldn't have needed to have died. They don't ask him directly, but it's more of a statement from them. But you can hear them saying, why didn't you come sooner? Why didn't you come? And we can ask similar questions, can't we? Lord, if you love me, and if you're in control, why didn't you come? Why didn't you answer my prayers? Why do I have to go through grief? And we can feel forced to conclude, well, either Jesus isn't really loving or he isn't really in control. Now, while I clearly don't have all the answers to those questions, I want to direct you to one word. It's an amazing word. Verse 5 and verse 6. It says, verse 5, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Well, now, the word I want you to notice is a word which isn't actually in there. It's actually because the first word of verse 6 probably isn't the best translation. It translated yet, but it should be so. So let me read that again. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. You see what that's saying? What that's saying is, Jesus loved them and therefore didn't come to them. He knew what was going to happen. And what that's saying is, Jesus is saying, look, the most loving thing that I can do for you at the moment, to Mary and Martha and Lazarus, is to stay away, that he would die. Why? What is it? What is it that Jesus is doing here that he would say, actually, the best thing that I can give you, the best thing I can do for you, is to let you grieve? Well, he says in verse 4, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. And actually, as we step back from this story, we can see how this goes, can't we? We can see, well, yes, if Lazarus hadn't died, then Jesus wouldn't have gone and comforted them and taught them and then gone to the tomb and wept and shown his love and shown his control over death and raised Lazarus, and you wouldn't have had all that. And we can see, looking at that, therefore, they were better at the end than they were at the beginning, because they'd seen Jesus' glory. They'd seen his love, his control, his glory poured out, shown to them in experience. And we see at the end, actually the verse after the end of the passage that was read, many put their trust in Jesus. Many had faith in Jesus. See, what was it? What was the thing that was so valuable? Jesus saw it was worth them going through grief to have. And the answer is that they would get him. That they would know him. Jesus. And we see this with the interaction with Martha as well. That in verse 25 he says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? You see, he's directing her to himself. He's saying, put your trust in me. And if you do, I will get you through death. Jesus is saying, I hate the fact you're grieving. I hate death. But I love you and I want to give you something far more valuable, even than happiness. The best thing I can possibly give you is me. Trust in me. And that will get you through death. And he says that to us, trust in me. It's that trust that is so essential, so valuable, that God sees it is worth even us going through grief to receive. And not just us going through grief. Indeed, it was worth him going through grief and death. Because you see, the ultimate place where Jesus reveals his glory is not in this incident with Lazarus, but is at the cross. In John's Gospel, that's what he says about the cross, that it is the place of Jesus' greatest glory. We see there his love and his utter control at the cross. His love pouring himself out for sinners like us, in our place. His control, because he knew he was going to go to the cross and he determined to go there. All for us, so that we could have him. So when you, through your grief, trust in Jesus, put your trust in him. If you're a Christian, maybe you've done this before, will you do it again today? Say to Jesus, through my grief, and as I look at you raising Lazarus, as you reveal your glory, will you reveal your glory to me again, that I may trust in you? Maybe, as I said at the beginning, you've never done this before. Can I encourage you this afternoon to turn to Jesus with your grief. Express to him the pain and the brokenness, knowing that he weeps with you. And say to Jesus, as I see your glory at the grave of Lazarus, open my heart to know your glory and to put my trust in you. I'm just going to lead us in a short prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we pray, please, that you would help us through our grief to know you and to know your glory. That as we look at Jesus dealing with this grieving family, as he, in his love, stayed away, and yet in his love then came to them and revealed his glory to them. Father, please, would you reveal your glory to us, that as we see him with that family, we would put our trust in him too. Amen. We're going to sing our next hymn, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. Please sing.
coming to our act of remembrance, and I'll just explain what we're going to do. Brian will be playing some quiet music, and Ken is going to come and read the names out that were written in the Book of Memories that you wrote in as you came in. So when you are ready, those of you who wish to, please take a rose from here and place it in one of the vases on the communion table. After this act of remembrance, the music will stop and there will be a period of silence for our own reflection. So thank you, Brian and Ken.
Graham Lewis Wilkinson, Hazel Elizabeth Wilkinson, Pat Williams, Morris John Woodger, Angela, aged 10 days, Doris Smith, Arthur Jenkins, Doris Smith, Mervyn Richard Steer, Stanley Jones, Arnold Fort, Gerald Hall, Irene Barton, Stan Olive North, Leslie and Florence Burrows, Joe and Jim, Douglas Breeze, and Doreen Breeze, Barbara Mayhew, and Albert Mayhew, Jim Vogan, Tom and Wynne Tarleton, Sydney and Lillian Knight, Colin Leslie Munger, Joy Evelyn Meredith, Jean and Alan Wallace, and Fiona Goodall.
now going to read a passage called After My Loss. Each of our grief journeys are unique, and today we're all at different stages, as Bart mentioned earlier. Somewhere our grief is still raw, others it's a more distant memory. But I'm sure that you will all be able to identify with some of the feelings expressed in this. After my loss. I need to talk about my loss. I often feel the need to tell what happened or ask why. I am struggling with many whys. I need to ask this question again and again until either I find the answer or accept that there is no answer. I frequently need someone to listen while I explain what this loss means. Each time I discuss my loss, I'm helping myself to face the reality. I cry when I talk about it. Tears are an important part of my recovery as they help relieve my stress. It is comforting to cry together. Try not to judge me now or think that I am behaving strangely. Remember that I am grieving. I may even be in shock. I'm struggling to cope with many frightening thoughts and unwanted feelings, and to live in a world that no longer includes my loved one. I feel overwhelmed. I feel afraid. I even feel guilty. I also feel rage or deep despair, and I get confused easily. I realise I am becoming more forgetful, and at times I believe I am losing my mind. I need to feel your touch, your hugs. I need you just to be with me, and I need to be with you. And please don't leave me for long periods of time feeling that your presence would be an intrusion. More than ever before, I need to be with people who care about me. And if you can't be with me, your phone calls, your letters will help more than you will ever know. It is comforting to me to know that you share my grief. There may be days when I don't know what my needs are anymore. I don't have the answers to a lot of questions right now. I need for you to believe in me. I need you to believe in my ability to get through this grief in my own time and in my own way. Don't tell me that it's time to get on with my own life. Each of us is different. Each loss is unique. Please don't tell me that you know just how I feel. No one will really understand. Don't tell me this death was God's will. This causes me to doubt God. Don't suggest that I take a pill or offer me an alcoholic drink, but encourage me to eat properly, to rest and to exercise. Don't be concerned if you think that I am getting better, and then suddenly I seem to slip back again. Grief makes me behave this way at times. I'm learning that the waves of grief will come and go in my life, but they won't always come with such force or frequency. One day, hopefully, they won't come at all. Finally, give me the time I need to grieve and recover. I want to get on with my life, as has often been suggested, but I know that first I must walk through the dark shadows of my grief. I need to meet it head on and master it, not to pretend that it isn't happening, not to hide my pain deep within me where it will fester and erupt later. I will never recover from my loss if I do not complete the work of my grief. And although it is almost impossible for me to believe this now, I know that one day my grief will end. Thank you for just being my friend, for your patience, for being here, for caring, for helping, for understanding. Joe is now going to come and read Psalm 121, a And this psalm reminds us that our help and strength comes from God, who is walking with us on our journey of grief. And he is there all the time.
I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore.
Thank you, Jen. Just before we sing our final hymn, I'd like to invite you to stay for a cup of tea in the hall next door. And for any of those that you would like to, if you'd like to take your rose, if you can remember which it is, or roses, or take a rose, do take it either after you've had your cup of tea or at the end of the service. Our final hymn is Guide Me, O My Great Redeemer. After this, Bart will give us a prayer of blessing. This is a real hymn of victory, and it reminds us again that our Lord guides us through this life with all its ups and downs and joys and pain. And for those that believe and trust in Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, at the end of our life here on earth, he will lead us safely into God's presence forevermore.
Before I lead us in a final prayer and blessing, can I suggest we keep this area after the service a sort of quieter area. So if you want to stay here, there's no rush, you don't have to dash off. If you want a bit more time, feel free to take that and feel free to stay here. So if you want to chat, that's fine, but let's take that through to the hall, whereas Andrea says there'll be tea and coffee. If you'd like to pray with someone or talk to someone, Feel free to grab someone you know to be a Christian, or do grab Andrea or myself, and we're very happy to talk or to pray with you. If you're exploring things to do with Christianity and you think, well, yes, I want to find out more about Jesus, can I encourage you to come along on Thursday evening? We've got our Life Explored course starting this Thursday, 8 o'clock here. It's an hour long and there are 7 sessions, but you can come just to the first one if you want to see what it's like to explore more about Jesus. So let me conclude for us with a prayer and then a blessing. Father, you know our hearts and share our sorrows. We are hurt by our parting from those whom we loved. We thank you for their lives and all you gave them and all you gave us through them. When we are angry at the loss we have sustained, when we long for words of comfort, yet find them hard to hear, turn our grief to truer living, our affliction to hope, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the God of peace, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Amen.